All right, good morning and happy Friday. Friday right before a 3-day holiday. So welcome to the very last Express Route Fridays with the Cloud and Enterprise Black Belts. So I'm your host, I'm Ron Abalera. So I'll be joining with a few colleagues of mine, Kevin Lopez, Jamie Smidke, Kevin Sullivan, and Olivier Martin. This is your Express Route team, and we're happy to have you here today. Before we get started, a few house rules. This call is a public call, so it's for both Microsoft as well as partners and customers. So this is free information and public information that we're sharing today. So if you do have any internal or NDA related type of questions, feel free to hit us offline and we'll try to address them the best we can. So for folks who also joined via the Skype bridge, notice that there's also an IM window that you can ask questions throughout the show. We typically mute the audience for the first 40 minutes or so. That way we can get through all the content and let our partner Spotlight present their piece. But we can try to answer as many of your questions in real time if you post your questions in the IM window. As I mentioned, the sessions are recorded, so all the content that you see here, the PowerPoint, as well as the MP4 recordings, will be posted at that link below, so aka.ms/expressroutefridays. And we also have the show that's also linked on Channel 9, so you can see the recordings there as well. All right, so the agenda today is that, as always, we'll talk about Express Route from 0 to 60, so all the information that you need to know to get started, that way you can be up and running as soon as possible. As I mentioned, this is the last Express Route Fridays. I am passing the torch to somebody that you may already be familiar with, but we'll talk a little bit about that and what our plans moving forward are. The deep dive topics for this week, we'll talk about VNet peering. That's something new just arrived not too long ago, as well as some of the new GUI features that are available for you in the portal. And today, we're happy for our partner Verizon for joining us to talk about the Secure Cloud Interconnect and how that works with ExpressRoute. And as always, we'll open up for Q&A at the very end. And so feel free to get off of mute at that point, and then you can ask the experts here on the line and ask Verizon if there's any questions that you have. All right. So as always, to get started, what ExpressRoute is, this is the analogy that I've used for the past few months. And ExpressRoute is just basically another option for you to get from point A to B, from your premises to the Microsoft Cloud. If you didn't use ExpressRoute, you would have the internet. And the internet is kind of like that freeway on the left. And this is actually a real freeway here where I live in Houston, Texas. And that's a common scenario during rush hour, which is, it's an unpredictable ride at different times of the day, right? And sometimes you get so impatient that you end up taking a different path, so your routes can change from day to day depending on how bad it's congested. So that's the internet on the left. ExpressRoute is really that private highway, that tollway, so to speak, on the right. The picture doesn't really show it too well, but it's not as congested, and that traffic is flowing much more freely compared to the left. So the drive is much more predictable. It still gets you from point A to B, but more predictable. So you do have to pay extra, just like a tollway. But if you want that traffic to be on that private connection, paying extra is sometimes more worth it. Because it is a tollway, you do have an uptime SLA. So you always have the knowledge and the security that it's going to be always up and running, especially when you're talking about production workloads, right? And customers can also pick the size of that highway. So you get to pick the bandwidth for your ExpressRoute circuit. So lots of differentiators why customers are heavily choosing ExpressRoute to connect their premises and their offices to the Microsoft network. All right, so that's basically what it is from a marketecture standpoint. If you didn't have ExpressRoute, whether you like it or not, connecting to any resource in the Microsoft Cloud, you will be traversing the public internet. So this, if you're thinking about all the other things that are happening there and sharing the bandwidth with other workloads, not necessarily related to your production workload, it's important for you to be able to have a dedicated pipe for many of that. So now keep in mind there are a list of supported workloads. Most of the ones on Azure for both PaaS and IaaS are supported, but just be aware that there may be a few caveats, but we'll show you some documentation here in a little bit. All right, so with ExpressRoute, I mentioned that's really an on-ramp to the Microsoft network. And part of the reason why we have an SLA is that behind the scenes, you're actually getting two circuits. And that's really a differentiator between some of the other connectivity options that other cloud providers use because it really is just a single circuit. And that's why they don't offer an SLA. Behind the scenes, an ExpressRoute circuit actually gives you two, a primary circuit and a secondary circuit. And it gives you that full line speed at which you choose. So if you choose like a 1 gig ExpressRoute circuit, you're actually getting two 1 gig circuits. That way, for any reason, if a primary circuit or secondary circuit goes down, you still have full bandwidth to the cloud. And because ExpressRoute gives you that on-ramp to the Microsoft network, you have full flexibility in choosing which workloads that you actually want to run on ExpressRoute, whether that's SaaS workloads, PaaS workloads, or IaaS workloads. So PaaS, for example, Azure Platform as a Service, services that are hosted by Microsoft with Microsoft public IP addresses, or if you want to do strictly IaaS, which is your private IP space hosted in the Microsoft cloud, so your virtual machines and all that, et cetera, which is a very popular one for extending existing workloads on premises. All right, so all this pricing is public, so feel free to take a look at that. But basically, it's all based on the size of the pipe, on the bandwidth, whether you choose metered or unlimited data. What that really means is that data going into the cloud is always not charged. So basically, its ingress is always free. So the only thing that the meter is tallying is any gigabytes that are leaving the Microsoft network back through your ExpressRoute circuit. So that's one of the things that you want to think about. If you have a lot of data that's leaving the Microsoft cloud back on premises, that may be something that an unlimited circuit may be better used for. But if you have mostly ingestion into the cloud, but only limited egress back, then a metered circuit is probably a better bet from a cost perspective. All right. So we also have the option of giving you a premium circuit. So that's just a logical extension of an existing circuit with some additional features. So essentially, things from additional VNets that you can attach to your circuit, and moving from 10 up to 100, more IP broadcast space that you can have, up to 10,000 routes, and being able to go across geography as well. So there's basically three main features that you get with a premium circuit, and obviously because it's a premium circuit, then you get it is more costly. So see which one works for your particular use cases. And go forward from there. All right, so I did mention that this is the last ExpressRoute Fridays. So we're very thankful that you, as customers and partners, have been attending the show, and even our Microsoft employees who've been learning more about how to help their customers connect to our cloud. So we've been very blessed to have so many customers impacted positively. And being able to move so many workloads. We have reached thousands of customers alone through ExpressRoute Fridays, and we've seen an enormous surge in the deployments of ExpressRoute circuits across the globe, and so many different workloads, anything from dev test environments to huge, Hadoop and big data and open source workloads that are now running on Azure. Don't fret that this is the last ExpressRoute Fridays. That you can still see the recordings of the last few sessions on Channel 9. We'll still keep the aka.ms link available as well. Part of the reason that we'll explain here in a little bit is that there's more to Azure networking besides ExpressRoute. ExpressRoute is just that on-ramp, but there's so many things beyond that that we'll talk about. So the conversation will be expanded. The other reason why ExpressRoute Fridays is ending is that I'm actually moving somewhere else. So I'm staying with a global black belt organization, but for this particular effort moving forward, I'm focusing on open source in Azure. ExpressRoute has always been an enabler of the workload, so I get to spend my time now on focusing on something that I really love to do, which is helping customers realize that Microsoft does a lot more than just Microsoft workloads. That we can do Linux and so many open source technologies out there that are transformative for our customers. I'll still be around And I still have a lot of networking knowledge that I can still share with customers, but my focus will be helping the actual workloads get implemented in the cloud. So I will be starting up a similar session called Open Source Fridays for Customers. I will launch that in the future. I've already launched that internally for our own field sellers to get ramped up, but I will be transitioning that to an external call in the future. In the meantime, if you do have any workloads that are open source related and you need our assistance or just want to learn a little bit more, feel free to reach us at gboss@microsoft.com. So that's the Global Black Belts focusing on open source workloads at microsoft.com. So it's been a pleasure, but I have no worries on who I am transitioning this series to. So I will be passing the torch to someone who I've been working with for the past few months, and he is a fantastic resource, and he has ramped up much, much faster than I could have ever imagined or hoped for. So you are in good hands. So transitioning it, passing the torch or the flambeau to our resident Canadian or slash Frenchman. So to Olivier Martin. So Olivier, feel free to go and introduce yourself.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Ron, for the great introduction, and I'm happy to take the series over. Hopefully, you're going to learn a lot of new stuff. Because, as said, Ron, before it's there's more to Azure networking than the Express Route itself, which is obviously the on-ramp, and you need the well, you need you could always use the VPN, and but generally speaking, a lot of customers when they get serious about using a cloud, they want high-speed connectivity, they want SLA, or they need SLAs, and Express Route is a fantastic way to get there. But once you're there, there's a lot more that you can do. So a little bit about myself. I'm the newest member of the Azure Networking Global Black Belt team. So we used to be called the Express Route Global Black Belt. Now we've changed internally our titles. To reflect more of what really Azure networking is. So that's kind of my background that you see there. So I've got a bit of experience in IT. A lot of it was in telecommunications before. For those who know Cisco Technologies, I've been 12 years CCIE, plus I've been MCSE at some point in time. It's been a little while, but still, I'm working at Microsoft. I'm pretty close to Microsoft Technologies. And over the last year, I started this new role a couple weeks ago. Some of you guys probably know me. We might have spoken together for some of your customers, or maybe there's even customers online with whom I've spoken. But before that, I was an ATS or an account technology strategist with the financial sector customers in Eastern Canada. So it's a much more broader role in terms of technology coverage. But you know, I got back to what I really love, which is telecommunications. So hopefully, I'll be able to help you guys. And as said, Ron, it's the last the Express Route Fridays, but there's a new guy and a new series. So that new series is going to be called the Azure Networking Fridays. So what is that going to be about? Well, as I said a little bit earlier, there is more to networking than Express Route. And I think that, you know, going through some of the we will want to do some deep dives on those technologies and or you know, as much of a deep dive as we can do in 15 to 20 minutes. But we'll want to do that to show you guys how you can leverage a whole bunch of things, of great things that can allow yourselves to have very, very large workloads inside of Azure and scalable workloads inside of Azure with a combination of these technologies. So the first one, and our plan is to do that next session on September 16th, so that's in 2 weeks of now, at the same time, so 11 a.m. So I'll forward you the invitation shortly, so you can put that on your calendar and forward this for the internal folks to your customers out there, and for the customers that are on the line, then you might want to forward that internally if you have networking people that would like to hear about that, because at the end of the day, it's very much a networking discussion. So the first topic that we intend in covering is Azure Traffic Manager, but as you can see here, there's quite a few more. We will still talk about Express Route. There's going to be new features coming down the road, and I want to make sure that you guys are aware of that and what you can do with it, and how it combines with the rest of the stuff. So many of you guys might be familiar with these icons, but there's, you know, there's virtual networkings, there's VPN gateways, load balancing, there's network virtual appliance, firewalls, and all kinds of stuff, and I look forward to talking to you on each of these things. So, going back to ExpressRoute, because this is the last ExpressRoute Friday. So how do you get started? Well, the first thing is you really have to have an Azure subscription. So it is an Azure service, even if you are going to use, for example, Office 365 over ExpressRoute, despite the fact that there's new guidance, you need to have an Azure subscription. And so you need to have that. You need to dedicate one subscription, or not necessarily dedicate, but to choose which subscription you're going to be using for that. And then you need to complete the physical portion of it. So what that is a discussion normally that takes place with an ExpressRoute partner. So we have one today on the call that's gonna be working with us and presenting their offering, which is Verizon, and getting into conversations with these guys and as well as us will increase significantly the chance of success because when partners are not on board, there's things that are missing, and it's really important to get them on board. Now there's other stuff once you've figured this out. But essentially, there's a lot of it that can be done using the UI, and the PowerShell also can do more stuff, more options, and you can take it from there. But that's essentially the workflow. Now, it used to be Ron's ExpressRoute cheat sheets becoming mine. Sorry, Ron, I stole it from you.
All good. All you now.
But you know, that's the kind of stuff that you need to take into consideration into like the yellow cells in this little table here is what you want to pay attention to, what you want to think about when you're integrating your environment to either virtual networks inside of Azure or SQL Azure or Office 365. So there's a lot of planning that needs to take place. You want to know, where am I going to terminate these? How does that work? How do I work with, which partner you choose, and what's the capabilities of that partner? Is that going to be a layer 2 or a layer 3 circuit? So there's these considerations that are important for you to take into account. Plus, on the bottom left, it says gateway name /28 subnet. There's a little caveat there. It should be /27, could even be /26. If I were you, that's what I would put. I'll update that for future discussions and presentations that we'll have. So that's kind of what you have to think about. I'm seeing a little question here on IM. So going forward, will we get an Azure networking cheat sheet? That's interesting. I'll try to, depending on the workloads, if that makes sense, definitely. It's a great suggestion. So in terms of partner contacts, we deal with quite a few people. There's more than these partners, but these are great partners that we work with already. So the contact information is there. Your presentation, as said, Ron, will be available on aka.ms/ExpressRouteFridays. So there's these partners, as well as first we see Riverbed as a network virtual appliance partners. There will be more that will be presented in the future in the upcoming months. Plus, there's system integration partners, because ExpressRoute is not necessarily something that you just do a couple clicks and it starts working. Usually, it involves a few people, and you know the best the better your planning is. And these system integrators can give you a lot of help on that side, the better your chances are of being successful. So I encourage you to contact these guys. This is not necessarily a cheat sheet, but a checklist and updated Office 365 guidance that I've mentioned a little bit earlier on. That's a great document that's available also at aka.ms/ExpressRouteFridays. It gives you a few hints in terms of what you need. It goes a little bit deeper in details than what I just said earlier in terms of the workflow to get onboarded, the things you have to think about. This is a short document, a couple pages, but worth a read. Definitely you want to check that out. As well as the updated Office 365 guidance for those of you guys who are planning to have ExpressRoute for Office 365. I definitely encourage you to take a read at that too. That'll lead to one of our support web pages. This week's session has a little bit of a deep dive on Azure VNet peering. So what is Azure VNet peering? Well, that's a new feature that's currently in preview. And what that allows you to do essentially is to connect virtual networks in the same region together. So how does that work? Well, that works like kind of under the covers. There's a lot of stuff that happens inside of Azure networking, but our product group did a great thing, which is brought up the ability to connect two virtual networks together without using gateways. So what that means is that you have in the physical networking world, we might call it wire speed connection between those two VNets. We all understand that there's no real wires. Well, eventually there are, but generally speaking, in virtual networking, there's no real wires. So what that does is it creates kind of a bigger virtual network that's not constrained by the speed of gateways between them. So it appears as one logical virtual network between peered VNets. So a little bit of details here. So one thing that allows you to do is the ability to use, for example, you could have a hub and spoke model where you would have your hub and a few spoke virtual networks that are connected to that hub, and you could leverage the gateway of that hub. So the gateway could be the hub virtual network with its gateway could be the only one connecting back on-premise via ExpressRoute, via site-to-site VPN, and the other virtual networks could leverage that. So that means less cost necessarily for your customers or yourselves, because you don't have many gateways to maintain. That also means less resources to manage, more simplicity. Yet they're still highly available and they work very well. As I said before, it allows full bandwidth, so you're really limited by the size of your virtual machine. So if you try to copy a file or try just network performance testing between two virtual machines inside of two different virtual networks or inside of the same, if they're peered, you would expect to see the exact same performance, which is awesome. So there is the ability to create, as I said, a hub and spoke model. In certain business cases, you might want to have them fully meshed, because if spoke A talks to the hub and spoke B talks to the hub, that doesn't mean that spoke A talks to spoke B. They are not transitive. So if you want to do that, you need to do them full meshed. It's by design, and that usually works pretty well. So there is also the possibility of integrating the ASM VNets, which are the classic world for those of you familiar with that. And it is possible to peer them with the ARM VNets. And it can also be done across subscription. However, there's a little caveat between ASM and ARM, which is that the ASM VNets cannot use the shared gateway by the ARM VNets, if that makes sense. Now, there are today a few limitations. There's no ASM APIs for that. There's also ASM cannot be peered with an ASM VNet. That's only possible to peer an ASM VNet with an ARM VNet. Peering limitations is limited. The peering is limited to within a region. That's also what allows you to have the same performance as if all of your hosts and all of your virtual machines are sitting inside one VNet. Also, for obvious reasons, in networking in general, address space should not overlap. You would not want to have overlapping IP address space on-premise with your virtual network. In the same way, you would not want virtual address space to overlap between two VNets, especially not if they're connected together. If they're never, ever going to be connected together, then yes, I guess you could do that. You could do that for testing, for disaster recovery testing, but there could be strategies to do it other ways. Multiple VNets can also have gateways. Each VNet, even if they're peered, can have their own gateway. But these are options that you can use when you're configuring that. So there's more than one option to connect virtual networks together. The VNet peering is the latest one, and it's the fastest one. But if you're going to be using a VPN gateway connection, which is like the way that a lot of people connect virtual networks together, then you have to use what we call a VPN gateway. So the VPN gateway is limited to 100 or 200 megabits per second maximum, and that's kind of restricted by the speed of the encryption. So, and there's also a limit to the amount of connections that you can have. But the interesting thing is that you can connect from any region to any region. So if you have a virtual network running in Asia and one running in US, then you can connect them together. You would not be able to peer them. And also it allows transitive routing. So you could have VirtualNet A connected to VirtualNet B connected to VirtualNet C, and A could talk to C. That's something that's possible using VPNs. So if you're going to be using ExpressRoute, ExpressRoute allows to connect two virtual networks together by the means of the ExpressRoute gateway. So the ExpressRoute routers that you're connecting your network to acts as a hub in a hub and spoke topology, where you have the circuit at the hub and all of your virtual networks at the spoke level. So the speed of that is much higher and is capped by the speed of your ExpressRoute gateway that you have on your virtual network. So that's up to 2 gigs. It can be 1 gig or 500 megabits per second, depending on the SKU that you choose. So that's for the different options. So as I said before, in a hub and spoke model, you have one model on the screen where there's one hub and one spoke. So, but you could imagine this scaling up to several spokes. But there's a few things that you need to make sure that you want. So even if the virtual networks are under administrative control of different folks, they still have control over allowing a certain virtual network to peer with you. And there's options that you need to set to make sure that you are effectively allowing other remote spoke virtual networks to use your gateway. So this is something that you need to do in order to allow the thing to work. So there's a few things. I really encourage you to try them. The feature is in public preview, and it should be generally available in not too much time. I'm not allowed to tell you when, but you know, try it. And if there's anything that you know doesn't seem to be working fine, it might be a configuration problem. Again, the feature is not in production, but I encourage you to try it over, and I'm sure you're going to find interesting use cases of that. Also, as mentioned before, there's new features in the portal in the user interface that have shown up lately, and one of those things is the ability to get more detailed information or diagnostic information on what's going on your ExpressRoute circuit at a peering level. So in that case, the two red rectangles that you see there are new information, or represent new information that's been put up by our great product team lately, and that allows, without using PowerShell, to get information on the bytes in, bytes out, for example, on one peering. So it's at the peering level. So if you have enabled the two other peerings, the private, the public, and the Microsoft peerings, you would see that information separated there too, as well as three other options that you see below, which is getting the ARP records, the route table, and the route table summary, which are essentially kind of troubleshooting tools. So you would be able, generally speaking, when your things are working, you would probably not take a look at that too much. But as you're establishing your ExpressRoute connectivity, you will probably want to check at the ARP records, for example. That'll give you an insight onto what's going on if things are not working. If your BGP session is not coming up, then there's good chances it's because at layer two, something is wrong. You could diagnose that with the ARP records, and if you see that, you would see something like incomplete, which is typically what you get when you're trying to look at an ARP record for something that hasn't been resolved, then you're probably going to get to be on a phone call with your ExpressRoute partner, because that's generally what's going on. There could be something that's not done properly, and that'll be worked out. And then once this is up, then you know BGP starts going on, and the routes starts to be exchanged between you and Microsoft, and this is where the get route table and get route table summary gets in handy. So what we see on the right is a little bit of an excerpt of that. So I got the route table there, and you know I grayed out a few things because this is internal Microsoft stuff. But you get the idea of what's going on, what's the next hop. So that should correspond to what your ExpressRoute provider is advertising to Microsoft, and or what you are advertising to Microsoft directly if you are using a layer 2 service. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jack from Verizon, who will take it away. So go ahead, Jack.
Thank you very much. This is Jack Conaway. I'm the product manager for Secure Cloud Interconnect over here at Verizon. And we wanted to kind of give you a brief overview of how SCI works with ExpressRoute so you can access your resources in the Azure cloud. So at a high level, there's some things that we're seeing kind of across the board. First and foremost, we're seeing a massive increase in demand across our entire customer base, which is primarily being driven by the move to cloud, you know, the ability to access wireless and video function as well. And as you have this increased demand for cloud resources, security starts to become a real concern. You know, you see example after example in the news of a customer that had some kind of a security breach or exposure, you know, and that becomes a real concern. So this solution is really nice. Secure Cloud Interconnect with Express Route to access your resources, because it really brings together the network, cloud, wireless into one solid bulletproof security wrap. And it helps, it's going to help limit the exposures that our customers have out in the market today. Jump over here.
Hey, Jack, go ahead and take
some of the mode. Sorry about that.
No worries.
There we go.
There you go.
So some of the key challenges that we're seeing in the market. When we were trying to create SCI, we were looking for ways that would allow our customers to easily access and manage their cloud services, that they'd be able to do that in a way that kept all their data, you know, protected and secure, still be able to take full advantage of, you know, bandwidth changes or the need for additional resources as that grows and make it very simple and easy for customers to access it, and then do all that in a way that gives our customers a consistent, reliable experience that's able to boost their quality of service. So that was kind of the key challenges that we came after. And then, of course, how can we let our customers do this and still have end-to-end visibility and control of their network from their mobile devices, from, you know, their fixed locations, and do that in a very simple, easy, reliable manner? So today, you know, we have three ways that you can really connect into the cloud. The first one here is over the public internet, and, you know, that's the congested freeway that we mentioned earlier. You don't have a lot of control over how it's routed. You don't have control of the quality of service that's going across it. And there are some security concerns that do come into play. You know, if you're running sensitive applications, you've got social security numbers, you have, you know, HEPA, you have, you know, a whole host of things. If you really want to keep your data secure, you need to access it through Express Route. So how do you do it? Well, the first one in the middle here is using a, you know, point-to-point method. And some, a lot of customers are doing that today. And in that situation, what you would do is, you know, you have the point-to-point circuit into your Express Route connection, and you either hub it back and forth to all the different locations that you need to have access to those applications, or you have to hub it to a central location, pull it back there, and then put it out across the entire your entire network. The third box here is really what Secure Cloud Interconnect is trying to address. And so first and foremost, it's accessing our private IP MPLS network. So you're going to have direct connectivity between our MPLS network and Express Route into your Azure and Office 365 resources, and that's going to keep us private. It's going to keep you off the public internet. You don't have, you know, to worry about DDoS attacks because they can't really reach it. And because it's going across our private IP MPLS network, it's backed by some really, really strong SLAs for performance. So that means that you're going to get very, very, very low latency. You're going to have an improved experience, and all of this is backed by our service agreements. So it gives customers a really, really solid experience. Coast to coast, across all of their different locations or nodes that they have installed out there. So how does it really work? So direct connectivity into Express Route. The way that was accomplished is we established we went into the data centers at our locations with Express Route and installed two PE routers that are redundant and diverse from the network standpoint. And then we installed initially 10 gig NNIs that go directly between our MPLS network and Express Route. So that you have this, you know, it says pre-provisioned. What it means is you have these, you know, giant pipes of connectivity directly between us. So what does that mean from a customer standpoint? Well, it means that if you're an MPLS customer today, you can establish that connectivity in, you know, a day versus, you know, the old method when you're trying to go from a point-to-point connection and you're looking at, you know, having your network provisioned across the, you know, our backbone, then you have to go into the data center to get access there. So you have that piece that takes a while to install. And then you have, you know, cross connects inside. And then you have to repeat that if you want to have redundancy and you want to have diversity to keep and ensure that connection's up and running. Well, with, in this scenario, that goes away. You're able to create virtual connections on, from your MPLS network directly over to ExpressRoute. It's extremely fast install from a network standpoint. It gives inherent redundancy and diversity to our customers as well. The built-in security and visibility that comes along with that is because we have the MPLS network that is private, it's secure, and that we help establish for you. And you're going to get a lot of flexibility on using that and accessing, you know, your cloud resources from multiple locations or multiple nodes that you have set up. In this model, the, your access to ExpressRoute and Azure resources looks like another node on your MPLS private network. So extremely fast to install, extremely fast to establish connectivity between, you know, different global connections or connectivities across the globe, as well as to the different nodes that are existing on the MPLS network. And the reason we went with the two 10 gig redundant diverse NNIs that are sitting out there is that instead of having to manage and monitor your bandwidth and adjust on our side, it's pretty much an open pipe to you. You have full access to all of that resources that you on across the SCI connection. So that means it instantly scales. If you change your bandwidth on your network side, you know, you can absorb as much as you can handle. If you change your port sizes with ExpressRoute, then it matches it on our side as well, so you get that full connectivity. And then in order to try to give our customers, you know, additional options of how to access those resources, we have the ability to connect our private wireless network has all the securities of the MPLS network, and you're able to connect directly from those mobile devices to those actual applications and resources that you have hosted on Azure. So this means that all of your cell phones and all of your tablets and mobile devices are able to access those same resources and do it in a secure manner that has the SLAs and performance that comes along with our private IP network. We also have, you know, a premium class of service that you can do. We also, as your traffic comes across the ExpressRoute connection to the SCI connection, you're able to do a whole lot of things from the networking standpoint. You know, you can control how the traffic's routed across our MPLS network. You can add QoS markings onto that traffic that is on or across our network. So if you have head ends that, you know, you need to have different traffic routed, you can configure that. You're able to have a GUI that we can go into, and we have a slide that we can cover that gives you visibility into what's happening, how your connections are set up. You can do threshold alerts. You can add and remove VPNs. And when I say VPNs, I mean VRFs across the private IP network. And then it also gives you the ability to pull different analytics so that you can see what you're using, how you're using, and where you're accessing those resources. So it makes for a really, really good user experience for our customers. It makes it so that you have security, you have performance, you have inherent redundancy, and you're only going to be charged for the actual data you use. You're not going to have to plan for that part of it. So what does it look like from a high-level standpoint? So you have the different nodes that are on the Verizon Private IP MPLS network, and then you have your Azure resources. They'll just appear as another node on those. You can set up new connectivity to it extremely fast. You can access it through your wireless devices, And then even within that MPLS network, you can route traffic to all your locations so that it doesn't have to get, you know, pulled back to one location and then routed out to your remote sites. You can control how those are routed. You can do it in a secure way. You can do it to a few. You can do it to many. You can set up multiple different configurations across that. And then inside our Dynamic Network Manager tool, you're able to add and remove VRFs based upon, you know, the needs of your business at that time. So what we've really seen is because you have the security, because you have the high performance, because it's been a positive user experience, because of the security and the redundancy that goes in there and the speed of which you can add new resources and add new connections onto it, we're seeing more and more customers connect to Azure through the SCI Verizon Private IP network. I know, I was looking today, and we're seeing about a 28% month-over-month growth rate in the number of connections that our customers are using to access Azure resources using ExpressRoute. And in, so far in 2016, we've had a 47% increase in total connections compared to where we, you know, ended in 2015. So significant growth across this as new customers come on board, as existing customers add new connections to different locations across the globe. So it's been a very good experience for our customers in that standpoint. So I talked about, you know, the pre-provisioned access and not having that, you know, bandwidth requirement. The way this is done is, you know, traditionally if you're looking at, you know, port-based solutions, you purchase a port, and then you're going to pay for that port regardless if you use it part of the time, if you have big traffic spikes, you know, on the weekends or at certain times during the day, you're going to pay for it as if you used it 100%, 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In the SCI model, you're only paying for the actual usage that is generated across those connections. So if you use, you know, 500 gigs in a month, you're only paying for 500 gigs in that month. If you spike up and you're using, you know, a terabyte, then you only pay for a terabyte. So you have a lot of flexibility on actually only paying for what you actually are absorbing. So this has resonated with our customers. And I was looking at their usage. So right now, I'm seeing on average a 30% growth in overall total gigabytes used a month to access Azure through the Secure Cloud Interconnect. So month over month growth as customers are finding that their cloud adoption strategies are being successful, they're able to do it with Azure, and they're finding more and more need for additional bandwidth, you know, and that's instant for them from the SCI connection. So it's been very positive, and with a very high rate of growth that we're seeing accelerate month over month. As you know, that you're able to access multiple locations. You're also, for the federal government, you're able to access the Azure government locations using ExpressRoute as well, and that's been really positive too. We've also seen interest from, you know, several government agencies and, you know, a couple of wins here recently. The analytics tool and the Dynamic Network Manager tool, and this is like a quick shot of one of the features, but in here you can go in, you can see where the connectivity is set up. We have APIs with Microsoft that allow you to establish the connection. You're able to set threshold alerts to look at what kind of usage you're seeing. You're able to look at different data plans. You're able to add and remove those VPN or VRFs that I was talking about that allows you to control how data is routed across the network and to which locations you want to have it. And that's really important because you're not having to pull everything back to a central location and send it back out. You're not creating a single point of failure. You have redundancy, you have diversity, and you have control over how it's routed. You're able to go in and pull – go ahead. Sorry. You're able to go in and pull reports that say, here's what your utilization looked like, here's what your usages looked like in a month. And then we have, you know, different data plans that customers are able to select from. If you're seeing, you know, a significantly higher, you know, usage month over month, you can switch from one, you know, plan to another that will give you a lower per gigabyte rate. That can be done anytime during the month. There's no commitment. There's no penalty. There's no term associated with it. And the way it's set up is the plan that's in place at the on the last day of the month is the one that gets applied to all the usage that took place, you know, in that month. So you can create a threshold alert. You can come in and look at it, and you can say, ah, it would be beneficial to me if we switch to the next plan, and you're able to go in, make the change, and it applies for all your uses throughout the month. So a whole lot of flexibility there, and then we're continuing to develop all the, you know, some of the features that you're able to access through here, with a whole lot of different things planned for 2017.
Just a quick comment. You know, this stuff right here is fantastic because it's a frequent ask from customers is, you know, how much am I actually using, right? You know, just is even though we have the ability to increase the express route bandwidth, you know, at any time, you know, just the fact that they may not know how much they're using, and that telemetry is, you know, a little bit limited on our side, but this is where we keep mentioning that, you know, ask the partner to be able to provide that. And this is, you know, the type of tools that the carriers have in their pockets that can help show how much they're using and if there's any need to actually, you know, go up in bandwidth at any time.
Absolutely. So why Verizon? Well, we have, you know, over 4.3 million wireless devices connected to that private network. There's no additional charge for using the private network versus a regular data plan on the wireless side, so you're able to access everything securely, and there's a whole lot of new use cases that are coming out from different customers that want to be able to do that. They want to be able to access their cloud resources from their mobile devices. They want to be able to do it securely, and they want to be able to do it with performance. And we have seamless connectivity between the Verizon Wireless private network, our MPLS network, our SDI connections. So all of it's routed and applied with the quality of service, the performance, the guaranteed SLAs that customers really need. We have, you know, on our private IP network, we have over 4,500 customers that are accessing it. Many of them are very large corporations, and we're handling over, you know, 2.9 petabytes of data daily. So it really gives you, with the Secure Cloud Interconnect, using the Verizon network, you know, connecting into Express Route, it gives you a way to manage your cloud instances. You're able to do it in multiple locations. You can handle it in a global environment. You keep your data sensitive. It's protected and it's secure. You have flexibility of taking advantage of your on-demand resources, meaning that there is no throttling of the bandwidth on our side. If you increase, it's there, and you can see what you've used, how it's being used, and you can set up multiple connections very quickly. And then, you know, when everything's said and done, you're not on that congested highway anymore. You have the throughput you need. You have a way to control it. You can mark it with QoS tags. You can route it across the network, so it gives you a very consistent, reliable user experience that's, you know, being embraced more and more by our customers, and we're continuing to see accelerated growth across the board. So that's really what I had today. I want to open it up for any questions that you might have.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute the audience right now. So if anyone has any questions that they haven't asked in the IM window and just want to ask it verbally, this is your time to be able to ask you know, Jack from Verizon and any of the GBBs that are on the phone here as well. So this is your opportunity. There are no bad questions. This is for, you know, you to get the answers that you need. So feel free to get off mute now. If no one has any questions, I'm going to be forced to put the slide of Olivier's you know, silly picture back on until someone asks a good question.
And Jack, I wanted to, it's Olivier here. I wanted to say that I was quite interested in seeing that your cellular network and 4G network is actually piggybacked to the MPLS cloud and all the way up to Azure. This can enable, I think, great use cases of these kinds of scenarios where you would avoid having to hairpin to your data center to do some, you know, some kind of tricks to your have an app server that proxies something and just add latency to the whole thing. So it's really a great idea. That's kudos, guys.
Especially for IoT scenarios that may be using your wireless.
Those things could just send tons of traffic at very high speeds into our cloud and process it according to whatever workloads you have. It's a great idea.
Any other questions? I know we answered quite a lot in the IM window, everything from ASN requirements. So Kevin had posted a link. Kevin Sullivan had posted a link as far as the different ASN requirements. So we do have the capability of using public or private ASNs regardless of the peer, but that link will show you the specifics around that. So is there any other questions that that we didn't get to? Let us know. Feel free to just put it on IM or go on audio. And yes, thank you, Kevin Sullivan, for posting the bad links in there.
Todd's asking a question here. Is there support for BGP community-based filtering? I guess, is that a question for Verizon? Or that's a question for Microsoft? Because on our end, we do advertise the BGP communities. Verizon, Jack, would you know... If you guys in your UI, you have this ability to filter these updates based on that?
Yeah, we do, and we can do all kinds of different configurations with the customers depending on, you know, their use cases from the network standpoint, different ways that it can be routed, and you know, we do support special one-off configurations as well as our, you know, standard configurations. So, you know, if you contact your account team, more than happy to set up a call and go over all the different designs that we can set up and how they're available to you guys.
Awesome. Okay, I got one question here from Mike. I'm still struggling a bit with BGP advertisements into a VNet, which are more specific than the UDR I have defined, and therefore either bypassing the security appliance or just getting dropped because of asymmetric routing. Well, I can talk to that. Mike, essentially you understand very well what's going on. Those routes that are, like, if the customer has 1,000 subnets in their organization and all the subnets are being advertised and not being summarized, what happens is these 1,000 advertisements will be sent independently all the way up to the virtual network. So the virtual network will know about all of these separately, and it will just follow up regular routing, which is, you know, the longest prefix match. So the easy solution to that is to aggregate those routes and summarize those routes. So that is something that I'm pretty sure that Verizon can do for you. And their, you know, personalized configured environment so that only maybe 10/8 is being advertised into the virtual network. So that simplifies a whole lot the writing of UDRs. Does that answer your question, Mike? Cool.
Great.
I have a question, guys. This is Cesar from Microsoft. I apologize if this has been already answered or covered on the slideshow. I just lost connection for about 2 minutes. Peering goes GA, are we going to be able to connect two different subscriptions or do a VPC peering between two different subscriptions?
The answer is yes, and Cesar, I want to tell you it's not a VPC.
I'm sorry, I come from an AWS background. VNet peering, I apologize.
No issues here, but yes, you can already do it cross-subscription.
Okay. And do we have some kind of a workflow right now that we can see the flow of traffic or and analyze that between the peering connections?
No, essentially how the traffic works in VNet peering is pretty much the same as if it were inside one big VNet.
Okay.
Anyone else? Feel free to get off the mute and ask your questions or in the IM window. All right. If there's no more questions, I guess we'll wrap it up and give you 5 minutes back of your day.
Thanks everyone for joining. We will post the recordings and the PowerPoint later at that link, not the link that Kevin Sullivan sent. So feel free to check out the material. So once again, thank you all so much for always attending these and learning to help your customers get onto the Microsoft network. And now it's going to be a 3-day weekend for everyone, so we'll give you a few minutes back. So enjoy your break, and thanks once again. If you all have any questions, just feel free to reach out to us. Y'all take care.